Lesson 12. The Church. Lesson Objectives. 1. The student will be able to explain the origin of the church. The church as a living institution. The church as a living local body. The basis of the unity of the worldwide church. The basis of the unity of the local church. The sacraments of the church. The purposes of the church. A statement of Christian beliefs about the church. 2. The student will see his responsibility to commit to a local church. The origin of the church. Activity. Before continuing the lesson, read Ephesians 3:3-10. What does this passage tell us about the church? During the centuries before the New Testament, the church was a mystery not completely revealed. There were people who experienced God's grace and lived in relationship with Him, Romans 4:1-8, but the church had not yet been established. Something to think about. When did the church begin? The church began with the life and ministry of Jesus. The church was built on the salvation He provided, Matthew 16:16-18. The era of the church began on the day of Pentecost. From that day, the church would function in the power of the Holy Spirit, without the physical and visible leadership of Christ on earth, John 16:7. Jesus gave His disciples authority to spread and establish His doctrines throughout the world, Matthew 28:18-20, and promised that the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth, John 16:13. The church can be called apostolic because the teachings of the apostles are the foundational doctrines of the church. Any beliefs that contradict those foundational doctrines should not be called Christian. The church originated in 1. The ministry of Jesus. 2. The salvation provided by Christ. 3. The event that took place on the day of Pentecost. 4. The development of apostolic doctrine. The church as a living institution. The church is compared to a family in which God is the Father and the believers are brothers and sisters, Matthew 12:48-50, Colossians 1:2. The church is called a nation which does not have any single race or natural origin, 1 Peter 2:9-10. The church is compared to a physical body of which Christ is the head, Ephesians 4:15-16, Ephesians 5:30. The members work together and care for one another, 1 Corinthians 12:14-26. As a member of the body, a Christian must not have an attitude of independence from the church. He needs the other members, and they need him, 1 Corinthians 12:21. It is wrong for a Christian to live as though he is spiritually self-sufficient without the church. To be separate from the church is to be separate from what Christ is doing on earth. To not respect and love the church is to not respect and love Christ. The church as a living, local body. There is one universal church, yet the church also exists locally. The members of the body cannot function unless they are together in one place. Paul wrote to the Corinthian believers that they were the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:27. Which implies that a local church is the body of Christ for that place. God has designed the local church to be a family of faith. 1. Functioning as a body with spiritual gifts. 2. Meeting the diverse needs of those in the fellowship with both human and divine resources. 3. Demonstrating to the world God's wisdom in every aspect of life. 4. Inviting unbelievers to be converted and enter the family. Real fellowship includes economics because those in the fellowship share life together and care about one another's needs. James 2:15-16, James 1:27. The need of a brother or sister in Christ is the responsibility of the church if that member is participating in the life of the church and taking responsibility as much as he is able. God gives spiritual gifts and special callings for ministry to strengthen and build the local church, Ephesians 4:11-12. The local church serves its community. The first priority is spiritual, preaching the gospel and promoting God's truth in all issues. The church ministers to material needs in the community, but gives priority to the people who are in the spiritual fellowship of the church. Galatians 6:10. The perfection of the church. Jesus gave himself for the church to make it holy and without any defect. Ephesians 5:27. The church must never condone sin, though it must always be ready to forgive. Leaders must be examples of holy living. 1 Timothy 3:2-3. If a member of the church sins, he must be confronted and eventually removed from fellowship if he does not repent. 1 Corinthians 5:11-13. Something to think about. Why is the church imperfect? The people of the church will not be perfect in every way. Because the church evangelizes, there are people in the congregation who have not yet repented of sin. Even among those who are saved, there will remain inconsistencies in their lives because they do not yet understand how to apply the truth to all the details of their lives. Even among mature Christians, there may be inconsistencies and wrong attitudes, because even a mature Christian is still in a process of spiritual growth. It is part of the work of the church to continually teach and apply the Word of God, bringing people to spiritual maturity. Ephesians 4:11-16, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Defining the church. The universal church is comprised of all believers in all times and places. It is sometimes called the invisible church because there is not an earthly organization that administrates the universal church or has the list of its members. A local church is a community of believers in one place who together do the work of the body of Christ. A group is not a church if they are formed for a more limited purpose. Here is a more extensive definition of the local church that helps distinguish it from other kinds of groups. A group of baptized believers, joined together for worship, edification, service, fellowship, and outreach. Accepting spiritual leadership. Willing to minister to all segments of society through the various gifts in the body, and regularly practicing the ordinances. Source: David Dockery. Southern Baptist Consensus and Renewal, A Biblical, Historical and Theological Proposal, Nashville B&H Publishing Group, 2008, page 127. The Unity of the Worldwide Church. There is one church for all places and times. Jesus said, "I will build my church, not churches." The Apostle Paul wrote that there is one body and one spirit and one hope, just as there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Ephesians 4:4-6. The early Christian creeds referred to the Catholic Church. This did not refer to the Roman Catholic Church, but to the worldwide church that includes all true Christians. The unity of the universal church is not in being one organization under one central administration. That will never happen before the return of Christ. Some people wish it could happen, but apparently it was not God's will, because Jesus corrected the disciples when they thought that a person should not do ministry separate from their organization. Luke 9:49-50. If Jesus had wanted to have a central administration over the universal church, he could have stayed on the earth physically to lead it. However, Jesus saw that the diverse work of the Holy Spirit all over the world would not happen as it should if Jesus remained physically on earth. John 16:7. Something to think about. What is the unity of the universal church based on? The unity of the universal church is based on 1. The doctrines of the apostles. 2. A transforming relationship with Christ. Doctrinal unity does not mean that Christians agree on everything, even on all important doctrines. It does mean that they share the essential doctrines about the nature of God and Christ and the essentials of the gospel. Without those, they would not be worshipping the same God or experiencing His grace. Doctrine is not the only thing needed for Christian unity. Christians share a bond of relationship with one another because of their transforming relationship with Christ. Because they have repented of sin, put their faith in Christ, and have the Holy Spirit, they have a special relationship. Christians recognize one another all over the world in spite of being different in many ways. The unity of the local church. We can accept as a Christian any person who holds the essential Christian doctrines and appears to be in a transforming relationship with Christ. But the doctrinal agreement of the local church must be much more detailed. A local church is a group of people who are committed to worshipping together, evangelizing, discipling converts and young people, serving the community, and teaching the practical details of the Christian life. For people to accomplish that purpose together, they must agree on many details of doctrine. For example, maybe a person in a local church tells every young person and new convert to pray for the gift of tongues. But other leaders in that church do not believe that the gift of tongues is promised to every believer. They are worried that people will get into spiritual confusion if they try to experience something that is not God's will. Obviously, it will be difficult for these people to work together in a local church. Even if the leaders consider the person a believer, they should not allow him to teach doctrines that may create confusion in that assembly. A local church needs to agree on doctrines that affect the way they share life together and practice ministry. It is good for a church to have a written statement of the doctrines they share. The statement is not used to determine whether someone is a believer. Instead, it shows which doctrines unite that group of believers for close and regular worship and ministry. The sacraments of the church. Jesus gave two sacraments to the church. They could also be called rituals or ceremonies. Baptism is symbolic of Christ's death and resurrection, Romans 6:3-4. Baptism is a testimony that the believer identifies with Christ and has experienced death to sin and new life in Christ. Baptism does not save a person. Baptism is a public testimony that conversion has happened, John 3:7-8. The Lord's Supper was instituted by Jesus at his last meal with the disciples before his crucifixion, 1 Corinthians 11:23-25. The bread and wine represent the body and blood of Jesus given as a sacrifice for our salvation. Just as we eat food for physical life, we depend on his sacrifice for our spiritual life, John 6:53-58. The sacraments can be called means of grace. They do not provide grace if they are done without faith and obedience. They are exercises that God has given us, and if done in faith, they are a means of receiving grace from God. Something to think about. What are some purposes of the church? Some purposes of the local church found in the New Testament. The church should. 1. Evangelize, Matthew 28:18-20. 2. Worship as a congregation, 1 Corinthians 14:26. 3. Maintain doctrine, 1 Timothy 3:15, Jude 1:3. 4. Support pastors financially, 1 Timothy 5:17-18. 5. Send and support missionaries, Acts 13:2-4, Romans 15:24. 6. Help members in need, Romans 12:13, 1 Timothy 5:3. 7. Discipline members who fall into sin, 1 Corinthians 5:9-13. 8. Practice baptism and the Lord's Supper, Matthew 28:19, 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. 9. Disciple believers to maturity, Ephesians 4:12-13. 10. Serve the needs of the community, Galatians 6:10, Ephesians 4:28, Hebrews 13:16. Most of these things cannot be done by one person acting independently. These purposes depend on cooperation by a group of believers and a structure of leadership. God calls every believer to commit to a local church and help that church fulfill its purpose in the world. Unless a member serves in the church, he is not fulfilling his purpose as a member of the body of Christ. Error to avoid: spiritual individualism. Some people never commit to becoming part of a local church. They want to feel free to attend any church on any Sunday. They cannot help with any of the ministries of the church because the church cannot depend on them. They do not have relationships that allow spiritual fellowship and accountability. If all Christians did the same, there would be no churches. Statement of beliefs. Christ has built one holy, worldwide church expressed as the body of Christ in local congregations. The church holds the doctrines of the apostles and defends all truth. The church is the family of God, with fellowship that ministers to all needs. The church worships God, evangelizes the world, and disciples believers.